Good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to talk to us on a very personal level this morning. Sometimes it's a touchy subject, sometimes it's tough. Worst thing that we like to do as Americans and as Christians is for somebody to confront us on where we stand and what we believe and how we believe. And the question that I ask, first to you personally, and then to us as a church. And I really want you to think about it. Why do you do what you're doing? I've searched this question in myself for the last 6 weeks. And I think it's something that's worth bearing out. Sometimes we need an adjustment to get us back to where we're at and what we're doing. Why do what you're doing? I can give you a list. I mean, if we want a list, a checkoff list, we like those so we can see whether or not we qualify. Is it because family meets at church and that's where you go to meet family? Is it fellowship? Is it music? Is it to see others saved? Is it to grow closer to God? I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But I can't list what's in your heart. Only you and the Holy Spirit can do that. Only you and God can really get to the root of it. And straight off the surface, coming off the sleeve, we know how to answer just about every question given to us. We can answer it like that. But I'd like for you to really discern down in your spirit, to think about that. Why do you do what you do? Why are you going to church? Why are you serving God? And it might put you on a new direction. Might make you consider some things. Maybe I need to change the way I look at this. Maybe I need to change the way that I read and the way that I study the Word of God. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, kind of a familiar scripture, chapter 24, verse number 13. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. Joshua chapter 24. Starting in verse number 13. Joshua 24, verse number 13. This is the Lord speaking to Israel. Joshua speaking to Israel through the Lord. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye build not, and ye dwell in them, and vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and my prayer is this morning that the seed of the Lord will go down into your souls and your spirits. The thought that I had is that sometimes we need to make a stand. There's times, and I'm not talking about that I come up in confrontation when somebody who is in the world comes against me and they say, well, I think it's okay if two people live together and I make my stand and proclaim this. No, sometimes in my day-to-day walk, I need to just make a stand on who I am. I need to make it to myself, to my thoughts, and to the way that things are going to go in my house. That's a strong statement that Joshua made, as for me and my house. He put it in order. He took lead, he took position, and he said, as for me and my house, we will, not maybe, not might, we will serve the Lord. We've declared that, we've set that on our house, and that's what we're going to do. We are going to serve the Lord, not try. There was a fellow that was talking, and he said, you know, I'm really not so disturbed. This was a lost man. I'm not disturbed by Christians who go to church. They can go to church, they can sing praises, they can be happy, they can love God, they can go to heaven. I'm not one bit really worried about those who pray that God will let them fit into this world and they try to justify all of the things that they do. He said, I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned about those radical ones who pray for changes in their life and pray for changes in nature and changes in our government. Those are the ones that scare me. Why do we do what we do? Why would he be scared of the ones he don't believe in God? So why would he even be scared of somebody praying to a God that he don't believe in to change things around him? It's easy to attack people from the sleeve who want to fit in and be like the world and act like them and do everything that they want to do and find the forms, the fashions, the music, the list goes on, the entertainment, try to justify everything so that we fit in with them. Folks, they're not looking for that. But it's the ones who are different. It's the ones who will stand apart. And as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And we need to make a declaration today that as for us and our homes, we're going to serve the Lord. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, regardless of what's going to happen. David went through a time in his life, and I believe that when he was reading the scriptures that was available to him, he must have run across this because I found a lot of things in the book of Psalms. And I'm not going to have you turn there because you'd be flipping back and forth to all the pages. But David found a lot of places where when he would go into the temple of God and he would start to proclaim to God who he was and what he was going through, he would use that same phrase over and over and over. And the first one that I found was on his conversion in Psalm 55. He says, "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down into hell for the wickedness in their dwellings and among them. But as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Even in morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." We need to have that kind of conversion. First thing, before you can declare anything else, you need to know that you have that conversion. You need to know that you've cried out to God and that He hears you. You need to know that you have asked God to save your soul, and you know that in the morning and in the noon and in the night that you are converted. But I believe today that there's a lot of people who have a half conversion, who think in their head, because I know Jesus' name, because I know about the resurrection, because I've seen the movies, because I've been here and I've been there and I've seen this stuff and I know it. Knowing it don't get you saved. There's a lot of us. No, I don't know who's a big famous movie star now. Who's at the top of their game now? Our music, or who's a good sports guy? Peyton Manning. How many knows that name? How many knows what team he plays for? How many knows he won the Super Bowl? We know a lot about him. And a real fan, buddy, they'll know his stats. How many knows who's on UK or who's on Florida? Who's their, five starters, Brad, is it? Could you can name the five starters. Boom, boom, boom. Name the coach. Are they going on to the game? They're going on. We can know all about that. But I bet if Brad went down there and the guys was walking by, and what's one of them's name? The big guy in the middle that does all the ball knocking around. What's his name? And if Brad went down and said, "Hey, Joe, I know you," Joe go. And just keep right on walking. Jesus said in those days, there'll be many that will say unto me, "Lord, Lord." And I'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But now, wait a minute, God, you can't do this. You cannot do this. I did this, and I did this, and I did this in your name. "Depart from me, I never knew you. You that worked iniquity." Iniquity is lawlessness, no constraint. So can we declare, as David did, "As for me, I call on the name of the Lord"? How about our conduct? Psalms 26, verse 9 through 12. He says, "Gather not my soul with the sinners." Whoops. "Nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief and the right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity." And what is integrity? Steadfast adherence to a strict code. And honest. "But as for me, I walk in my honesty." I will, in a world full of deceit, in a world full of people pushing to get to the top, doing anything that they can, in a world full of wheels and deals, and that's the only way you can make it. But as for me, I'm going to walk in my integrity. I'm going to walk the thing that I proclaim. There's a lot of folks that proclaim a lot of stuff for a short period of time, but then after that period of time, when they're done getting what they want to do, they don't proclaim it no more. They don't even follow what they taught. Amen? We see that. Are we going to walk? How can we get God to bless us if we will not walk in integrity and honesty? If God would have blessed David and Bathsheba in the sin that they were in and not brought judgment, the entire city of Jerusalem would have said, God's light on sin. I don't know about y'all, but you really don't need the tabloids for all of the gossip. I mean, they're able to see, hey, wait a minute, here's a battle. The man goes out, he gets killed. How many people are quick whenever they go to tell you something and you do the math and go count back and say, Uriah wasn't dead yet. And David and Bathsheba did this. And he's supposed to be the apple of God's eye, and God's not bringing no judgment on this. We need to walk in our integrity. Our integrity, listen, we as God's people, our integrity to this world is of utmost importance, because the world is full of finding false ministries and projecting those out so that they'll have another reason to say, well, it's just another church. How many of them, when they see something false, they come to you and say, you know what I seen? I had a guy tell me Saturday morning, couldn't wait to get to work as soon as he come up. He said, I seen that preacher. That one on TV is preaching. Said, yeah, he's got a $2 million home, 7 cars. And he said he wants to thank God for it. And his parishioners out there needing everything. I said, yeah. There's false everywhere. If somebody cut me a $7 bill and brought it to me and give it to me, would I try to take it to the bank and cash it? Would you? No, why? Ain't no such thing, right? So if I'm going to counterfeit something, Denzel, what would I counterfeit? A $7 bill or a 10 or a 20? So I tell him, yeah, there's all kinds of counterfeits out there. I'll sit down here with you and I'll even give you some names of some. I can even show you some. But I will never throw away every one of my bills that's in my pocket, because if I go to the bank, Cheryl says, this one's counterfeit. I say, well, throw them all away. Empty the bank account, we don't want none of it. Because there's one counterfeit. How many of you ever got your food at a restaurant and your food wasn't exactly what it is, and you said, send it back, I ain't eating another bite the rest of my life? How many of you has had confrontation upon confrontation with your family members, and you say, I'm never speaking to them again? But you find yourself going back. And you say, that's just the way they are. They are counterfeits out there. But don't let them steal your integrity. Satan don't steal it. We give it up. You have to decide to become false to lose your integrity. You have to make the conscious decision, I am not going to do that, or I am going to do that. Amen. Don't we? That's understandable. Walk in your integrity and make a declaration to this world. As for me and my house, while we're serving the Lord, I'm going to walk in my integrity. Well, he also said, for concern for others. And boy, we could spend all day on this one. Psalm 35:11, surprised me this was even in there. False witnesses did rise up. How many's ever had somebody just flat tell a lie on them? He said, yeah, they laid to my charge the things which I knew not. Didn't even know about it. I just found out about it. And it's been going on how long? Have you ever said that? When did this happen? How long has this been going on? He says, they rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my own soul. Now, when David says that, I want us to know the importance of the word. Now, when David said that they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul, he's talking about to my mind, my will, and my emotions. When those lies come out and somebody tells you and you see the attack, don't it just pull the life out of you? Don't it just totally overtake your mind? Your will is, I don't want to go there with them. I don't want to be around them. I just want to go away from them. I don't want nothing to do with them. Your will's taken away. And your emotions bleed over into every other relationship in your life. Because it might be Debbie, and Ray says, well, what's wrong? Oh, nothing, I just don't want to talk about it. Ray walks away, well, what'd I do? That's the first thing we think. If Rick's distraught, did I do something to offend you? Sir, did I do something to offend you? Why are you treating me that way? Well, it's because Amy said, at least she's mad at Amy. And we leave it at that. No. David went on and he said, but as for me, now this is what he's going to do about the situation. Of people who misused him and mistrusted him. David said, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was like sackcloth for them. I humbled my soul with fasting and prayer and returned to my own bosom, and I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or my brother. Can we do that to those that spitefully use you? Oh, who said that? As for me, even though they done this, they tore my world apart, they hurt me deeply, Rick, they wounded me. I've got a scar. But as for me, I can put a bandage over the scar. And when they're sick, I'm going to pray for them. When they're real far down, I'm going to go get them a can of chicken noodle soup. When they're hurting, I'm going to hurt with them. Even though they hurt me, I'm still going to treat them like I'm supposed to. Why? Why would David do that? He just told us right here. Because of his conduct and his conversion. I've been converted. I'm walking in my conversion. I'm walking in integrity, and I'm going to walk in unforgiveness. I'm going to walk complete. I am not going to have to totally, all the time, rely on what everybody else does. Sure, notice he said it hurt him. You are going to get hurt. You're going to have to expose yourself, and there's people that are going to use you in this world. In your workplace, your taskmaster may not do nothing but just use you as a number. He may say, I don't know, Rick, how many can you get out today? How many can you fix today? Brother, how quick can we go? Can you bump it up a little bit? They'll use you for everything you want. But if you walk in integrity, God is your source. Serve them to the best of your ability and walk in your integrity. Walk in what God has given you, which is the ability to be true and honest. And when you lay your head down at night, all things will be better. But if you go around backbiting and fussing and complaining, and that's why a lot of us have the spiritual struggles that we have, because there's always somebody that we need to pound a stake into. But I'm telling you, as for me, I can walk in my integrity. Why would God tell us to walk in integrity if we couldn't? So apparently it's there. It's more pleasing to the flesh to get right in with the crowd and to go with them. That's easy to do that stuff. But you need to come out. Don't walk around mad and frustrated. Especially when somebody starts doing the things of God and talking about the things of God. And you just, oh, that's all they think. Especially if it's a brother. I mean, what would it? If me and Carly went out to dinner and I tell you, oh, I don't know what's wrong with Robbie. All he wants to talk about is God all the time. I never seen nothing like it. He's heavenly minded. He ain't no good on earth. Just cut the brother. Well, how else? Well, I don't know, but I know Robbie's testimony, and there's a lot of other things he could talk about. I'd rather have him talking about God. Unless some of that talk is starting to get to my spirit. Unless that conversion, that part that I won't let be converted, is aggravating me. Unless there's a little bit of doubt. And if I can't get Robbie not to serve God, maybe I can get Carly not to serve God. And in my anger and frustration, I'll beat it and beat it and beat it. And all it is everybody else is walking around happy. Carly's happy, Robbie's happy, Rick's happy, and I'm the one miserable. Because I won't give in to the knock. So I've got to try to control and get a hold of everything. Well, David went on, and he's talking about his consecration in Psalms 5, 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. He said, as for me, beforehand he was talking about those who work in falsehood and are bloodthirsty, who look out and like I said, that are just using you to move on. But his consecration to God, he says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear I will worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in righteousness. Don't let me figure out a way, God, that I can make my sin okay. If I have to find some way to justify my actions, it's wrong. Righteousness and good does not have to be justified. I don't have to look for a way to make something right that is right. Because it's right. It would be silly for me to say, hey Rick, Jesus is good. No, He is. He's really good. Hey, He's good, brother. No, no, I'm telling you, he is good. He's really good. And I'm telling you, he's good. He's so good. I don't have to convince him. Something that's right is right. But if I say, hey, old, I don't know, hack and slash, stab him up with the knife and shoot him up, bang, whatever it is. Now, the reason I go to see that, brother, is because God's got a message in there for me. Yeah, I guess if somebody's hitchhiking, like a commercial, somebody's hitchhiking with the chainsaw, don't pick them up. But we'll do that. We'll find some little way that we can justify the wrong that happens, and it hurts your consecration to God. I think I have a problem with people saying, oh, you're just too sanctified. I don't think you can be too sanctified. Sanctification means set apart for a religious work. I am. I don't have a problem with that. We need to be different. And regardless of what a lot of ministers want to have you to believe, the world out there is looking for people that are completely different. They need something solid that they can get a hold of. They've heard all of the yak, 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 but they want someone who is speaking with power and authority who can bring them out of the situations that they're living in. But we'll never be able to do it if we can't get out of the situation that we live in. And Jesus, on the sidelines, is just like a coach. I watch, me and Shaw can watch usually about 3 or 4 minutes of basketball. And then I'm telling you, if you watch basketball, watch the last 2 minutes. See, that ain't it, brother. That gets the whole thing. And I see, they can play, it amazes me. They can play the whole game. How long is the whole game? 40 minutes. Play 40 minutes in 40 minutes, except for the last 2 minutes, which is about 30 minutes. I told you, I said, if they played the whole game like that, that intense, man, basketball player at work, he said, he watches, he's a big UofL fan, he said, we'd never get nothing done. I said, but it would be intense, and they would know they've been to a game. But I'll see them guys, and they start this, and they're throwing their hands up, and they're hollering, and they're screaming, and they're cheering the guys on. Come on, hold on to it. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. Come on, hold on to it. Don't let go. Walk in your integrity. Be sincere. Care for others. And he's going up and down the sideline, and the ball comes to me, and I just go, but I don't want to. If I put the ball up there, they're going to expect me to do it again, especially if it goes in. Now, I forget what the big guy name on Florida is, but if he started doing that, he wouldn't be your fan very long. You wouldn't be his fan very long, would you, Brad? Every time they throw the ball to him, he just lay it down and step back and say, too much responsibility with that thing. You take that ball, they expect you to do something with it. And I believe the coach would be doing like you. That's the timeout thing, in case you don't know. I figured that one out. And he'd take him over here, and he'd go, and you don't get to hear what he says, but I'm sure it ain't peaches and cream. And then you see the boy go, yes. And when Jesus does that to us and he takes us out of the game for a while, it's exactly what we do. We pout because we would not follow the plan. We would not follow the play. We wouldn't do anything. We don't want the responsibility. And what would even be worse for Brad is the next game the final game? Okay. In the next game, that's important if you're in the Final Four because that means you're going to the big game, right? Gotcha. What would make Brad madder than anything is if his big guy on Florida in the middle, as soon as the other his team got the ball, he started knocking them down. Every time his player would shoot, he'd knock it down. Said, no, if we win, we got to play again. You know how sweaty we get when we win. You know how tired I am. Don't put the ball up. Everybody, the place would be quiet, wouldn't it? Do we do that as Christians? I don't want to go no further, God. I don't want to get no deeper. I don't like the responsibility because if you put me here, then I'm going to have to perform over there and I don't want to go there because there's not a lot of glory over there. That's not real good over there. But if it was a championship where we got a nice cup that we could set up, we go for it. Oh, my goodness. We'll just go. Let me give you. To his finish, Psalm 17:15. David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Serving Jesus, preaching His Word, studying, helping people. I don't have a cup or a plaque that I can set up and let everybody see. I can't raise it up. I can't run around with it. But let me tell you one thing. My departure is at hand. I am finishing my course. I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not for me only, but for all of them. All of them. I'm going home. Yeah. They're going to lay me in a cold box and let the Lord come back. And they're going to put me in the ground in a concrete box and put a lot of dirt on it. But I'll tell you what. You can knock it. Ain't nobody home. I'm headed to another place. I've worked too long and too hard. I've separated too far and I've done too much to let anything come in my way now. There's a world out there that wants to draw me away, but she ain't drawing me away. There's a place out there that I could rise up in power. I can rise up in money. I've been on top of the game. I've had the jet planes. I know you look at me and say, oh, what do you mean? I could go to Stanford Field and I could get on our jet and I could go to Austin and I can walk into places, and I was a dignitary. Vicky, I could walk in and go, there's Terry. I see everybody jumping around and doing this and doing that. And I was lost, and if I would have died, I would have lifted my eyes up in hell with absolutely nothing to show for it. And probably had people say, well, you know how he was? We know where he went. Even lost people can figure that out. There is a place that sets in Christ in all of your finish that you have to know. But as for me, I'm holding on to the end. As for me, there is something that is set there. I don't know what it is. Why is it that I do what I do? I'll tell you what I reckon in me. It's just a fire in me. I can't sit down long enough to shut it up. I can't put it away. I can't put it on the shelf. I can't turn it off. I can be quiet for a little while, but it raises up in me to something that I've never felt before. And people say, well, how do you know that you know that it's real? How will you be able to prove to me Christ Jesus and Him crucified and resurrected if you could give me some proof? And I told a guy the other day, I said, it's just like a court case. I've got one witness who's seen Him. Mary Magdalene, she's seen Him rise. I present that to the court. Well, one witness ain't that good. I got 12 who spoke to Him and seen Him. 12 witnesses ought to just seal any case. Those were his friends. They lie for him. Your Honor, may I present to you the state's witness and the final witnesses. Of the 500 who seen him, who book after book after book has been written about him. Literature stack on top of literature to prove who he was. To show who he was. And they said, well, those are just books. I said, really? Who's our first president? Anybody. Who's the first president of the United States? How do you know? It's just a book. I said, I don't even think that we come to this country. I think we were born here. There ain't no such thing as Indians. Because the book said so. And I told him, Jimmy, I said, what's your name? He said, Bill. I said, let me tell you something, Bill. Your name ain't Bill. Yes, it is. How do you know it's Bill? Some man just wrote it on a piece of paper and put it in Frankfurt. Your name's Willard. That's how ridiculous it gets. I said, what color is this? Blue? That ain't blue. Somebody just told you that's blue and you bought it. You have been duped your whole life to believe something that's not even true. As a matter of fact, we're not even here. He said, now you're getting ridiculous. I said, your statement is the one that's ridiculous because I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I'm trusted, and He is able to keep me until the last day. He is able to keep what I have entrusted to Him. The easy thing is for me to go with the flow. The hard thing is to become a Christian and not be cool, not be tough, not be with it, not be able to just throw my anger everywhere, not to walk around with my nose in the air, pretending I'm somebody that I'm not. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. Finishing the course is the hard part. It's easy when it's fresh and it's new and it's exciting. But when it becomes day in and day out, why do you do what you do? Why are you holding on? Is it for a trinket? Or is it just because you love what Jesus done for you? You love the capability of how He can make your day and how He can help you in the times of need. How He can come into your quiet times if you so allow Him to. How He can carry you. How He can make the difference in your life. And I'm not into the scared religion. We done heard the world is going to end Jesus coming back till it's callous to us. It'd be the same as me dropping a BB on this altar and watching it bounce and roll off. We've heard it so much. Scared religion don't work. There's got to be a love for Christ in you. You've got to know that there is a hell and a judgment. And I'll tell you what. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know when the world's going to end. But I will tell you something that I know by the same thing, the preponderance of the evidence. Everyone in this room is going to die. And if what you've been thinking, well, we'll just be dead and that's it and that's all. If that's what you've been thinking, then we'll all just be dead and we'll be in a... I'll give you that. Now I want you to think about something that I believe. After death is a judgment. What are you going to do then? And not just hey, we just can't push this off on the people that don't know Jesus. I'd like it if that was all there was. But there's one for us. I wonder if you've made the declaration clear enough that you know where you stand with God. Or has the world punched in and taken some stuff from you? And you just need some mental clarity. You need to be able to stand and know that you've made the proclamation. That you're saved. That you're going to live what you say you live. And not speak it here. And as soon as they're gone, go somewhere else. What is it that you're going to do, Brother Rick? I don't know if anybody needs the prayer. If anybody wants to. Lord, that we could get past the day that we only come to the altar if we need to. But if you want more of God this morning, this message was for you. Well, wait a minute. I thought it was if we were bad and everything. No, I'm telling you, the altar is open for you. You want more of God. You want the fire of God. God will give it to you. You come to meet Him and you make that proclamation. As for me. As for me. I'm going to walk in integrity. As for me, I'm going to gather with God's people and make a commitment to them. As for me, I'm going to treat my enemies differently. As for me, I'm going to be consecrated to the Lord. I've tried everything else, and now it's time for something different.